Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 30. May the Lord write his word upon your heart. Today we let the Bible speak on this passage of Scripture, which really is a wonderful image of the grace of the Lord Jesus. There is here the analogy of the oxen plowing, with the little oxen coming alongside, perhaps in training. And we are invited to be united or yoked to the Lord, and he carries the load. And that's the wonderful grace that sinners find when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Today we're moving to the pulpit ministry of our church here in Cloverdale, Free Presbyterian Church, and we want to let the Bible speak on, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And I trust that you will be led into a personal resting in the promises and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay tuned as we turn now to the pulpit ministry of our church. Matthew 11, we're coming to the end of the chapter, to those last few verses. I want you to imagine tonight that you were reading the newspaper and you came across an advertisement calling people to a retreat where you will find the ultimate rest, a getaway from it all, of a pampered 24/7 experience on a tourist resort with all the luxuries that money could buy. Well, that might be tempting. You'd probably take a second read over that advertisement. And of course, there are constant offers for healing, constant offers for help to those that are under burdens and cares. Tourist companies that have all kinds of packages that they offer, and it all reads very well. Well, here tonight in Matthew 11, verse 28, we have a wonderful offer to gospel rest, to soul rest. And of all the promises in the Bible, I think this is the deepest, and it is the most life-changing. If we could lay hold upon this promise, and if it was fulfilled in our lives and hearts, we would be blessed indeed. Now,
the Lord went a lot further than just bodily healing or financial freedom. He offered rest to souls. If you look at the end of verse 29, and it says, "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." And so he invited people to come to him personally, to come to him directly, to find this rest. And it's a most interesting illustration that the Lord used when he said, "Take my yoke upon you." And I think you're familiar with that of the farmer plowing with oxen, and how that wooden yoke is used to synchronize those two beasts together. And the Lord invites us to be united to him, to come unto him under his rule and reign, that we might find this rest. So what a great offer it is. What a tremendous offer, that if we will give our hearts and lives to the Lord and surrender to him, that he will give rest to our souls. But rightly, you will be asking, how can the Lord do that? How does that work? How can the Lord promise rest to our souls? Well, I have a few thoughts on that, and I want to lead you to think about these things. Firstly, Jesus offers rest because of the Father's authority behind the promise. As always, when you're reading the Bible, you need to look at the text in context. You need to read what led to this statement, what built up to it. And if you go back to verse 27, you'll notice how the Lord Jesus spoke on very amazing terms. And he is outlining here, the power, the authority that he possesses, that he might be the Savior of sinners and give this rest unto his people. Now, you'll notice in that verse 27 that the Lord Jesus is uniquely bound up in the life of his Father. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Great strange words, deep words, they're very profound words. And so you'll see that the infinite nature, the character of the Son, you and I can't comprehend the fullness that is in Christ, but the Father can. And you and I cannot comprehend the fullness that is in God the Father, but the Son can. They are bound up in one another's life because they are equals. God the Father, God the Son, and they understand and they know each other. Not even angels can know God as the Son knows the Father. Anything that we can possibly know about God will come to us through the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, because only he knows the Father as he needs and ought to be known. And so, if we really want to know God, if we really want to know rest in God, peace with God, then it's going to come to us through the Lord Jesus. We need to go to him. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me," because I know the Father, and the Father knows me, and I am able to act as the mediator to lead you into this wonderful blessing of the Father. You'll notice there in verse 27 that he is the revealer of the Father, he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There's another passage, Hebrews 1, that talks about Jesus being the express image of the Father. He's the mirror image. He is the exact character, likeness of the Father. And Jesus came into the world to make the Father known. He was able to say, "He that hath seen the Son hath seen the Father." And so we need to comprehend this fullness, this revelatory power and grace that is in our Lord Jesus. There is no rest, of course, in false gospels. There is no rest in man-made ideas and ideologies and philosophies. But there is true rest. Rest for your soul, full salvation, peace with God, by taking up this offer and coming to the Lord Jesus. Because in Christ is all that you need. And everything that God has for you is in His Son. There is no other source. There is no other channel. There is no other pipeline that can bring the blessing of God into your life apart from knowing and bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus. And so rightly the Lord could say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You will see also in that verse 27 that He is the covenant of the mediator of the covenant. Now, that's theological language, isn't it? The mediator of the covenant. You'll find that in the shorter catechism, the larger catechism. You'll find that in chapter 8 in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Jesus is the mediator of the covenant. But it's in the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, what does a mediator do? A mediator is like a broker. He arranges the delivery. He receives the order. He does all the paperwork, and the broker makes it happen. And so the Lord Jesus is the agent, the mediator, the arranger of every blessing that God brings into the hearts and lives of His people. Paul talked about every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now think of all that that means. The Lord Jesus is our life giver. Every blessing, whether it's food on the table, health, the very breath that we breathe, health and strength, every sustenance of life comes to us through the Lord. He feeds us, He clothes us, He cares for us, He protects us, He binds up our sores, He heals us, and He helps us through all the walk of life. But He's also the head of the church. He is the head, we are the body. We're members united to the head. And we therefore serve the head. And we take every command from the Lord. Just as the head sends the instructions, the commands to your hands, your mouth to talk, as I'm doing now, or the command to stand up and sing, just as your brain gives you that command, the Lord is the one who commands the blessings. And He's the head of the church. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over His people. He's also, of course, the judge of all the earth. He's the one that we're going to stand before, and we're going to give account, and He will search our hearts and lives. He knows our deeds, He knows our words, He knows our thoughts. We shall all stand before Him. And so when we think of all of those things, and then we hear the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You can see that there is great authority in that invitation. There is the authority of God, equal with the Father, the covenant mediator, the revealer of every blessing. All the fullness of God is in Him. And I have to say that when I studied these things, I thought about what Pharaoh said to the people when he made Joseph the prime minister of the land, when they needed food, when they needed the granaries to be opened and the grain to be dispensed. Pharaoh said, "Go to Joseph." And that is a great picture of the Father saying to you, "Go to Jesus." Whatever your need, whatever your burden, whatever you're laden down with, go to Jesus. He is the Savior you need. And when He invites you, "Come unto me," that is a genuine, authoritative invitation. And he can open the storehouses of God's blessing in your life. And so you must personally go to him. And so this is the reason why it is right that we take of the Lord up in his offer. The next thing is that Jesus is the one to give us rest because of the clear definition of that rest. We want clarity here. We want to understand exactly what we're talking about. And we've already learned that this is rest for our souls. It's more than just physical. It's more than just a doctor's appointment to attend to some anemic condition or some problem that we face in the body. This is spiritual rest. We are to experience it in our hearts, in our souls. It should affect our prayer life. It should affect our worship. It should affect our walk with God. And the Lord is saying that he offers this rest. Now, the clarity comes from that illustration of the oxen plowing. The Lord saying, take my yoke upon you and find rest. What does it mean to be yoked to the Lord Jesus? As you think of those two oxen and that bar that goes across their necks, one to the other. And these oxen are big, sturdy beasts. They might be 3-4 feet wide. So you've got this 6-foot wooden bar, maybe 4 or 5 inches in diameter, going across the necks of these beasts. And there's ropes or bands that are tying them down to their shoulders, putting them in place, so that those two animals must walk in sync. There must be in lockstep one with another. And where that first beast moves, the other must go along in synchronization with it. It must be in agreement with it. And so this is a very powerful illustration of what it means to be a Christian. The Lord exhorts us to take up this yoke, take his yoke upon him, and learn of him. Now, many think that to take up a yoke would be bondage. And of course, many think that if you become a Christian, you're just going to lose all the joy of life and all the freedom of life, and you're going to have a cruel, hard taskmaster to serve. And a yoke, of course, might give you that impression as well. Paul talked about servants, that they were yoke fellows. 1 Corinthians 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own that their own masters worthy of all honor. And so this is the language of being under the headship, under the guidance, and even the control of the Lord. And that's what the Christian life is. We are totally surrendering our lives to the direction and to the headship of the Lord Jesus. So why would anybody do that? Why would you give up your life, your independence, your freedom to be yoked to the Lord Jesus? Well, because all men are servants of somebody or something. Every one of us is a servant of something. As a Christian tonight, you are a servant of righteousness. And I'm thinking of Romans 6 in this. As Christ is our head, we are servants of righteousness. But if you're not a Christian, what are you? Then Paul says in Romans 6, you are a servant of sin. You are a slave of sin. You're in bondage. You're not free. Every one of us is born into this bondage because by birth we are born into sin, into the rule and dominion of Satan. And so don't think that you are opting into some life of horrible, cruel mastery by becoming a Christian. But rather you're coming out of the kingdom of darkness the kingdom of slavery to Satan and sin into real freedom. Because, as we learn here, the Lord's burden is light, unlike the devil's burden. If you're not a Christian tonight, you're under a very heavy burden. You're under a weight that you cannot bear. It will crush you, it will ruin you, and one day it will even damn you. That's the burden that sin brings.
Though the passing years to earth their changes lend, there is one whose love so free for all time will changeless be. Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much he loves me. Jesus is my true and dearest friend. Time's swift current onward glides, there is nothing which abides. Through the fleeting years all things must surely end. Friends may fail or faithless be, but there's one who cares for me. Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much he loves me. Jesus is my true and dearest friend. Then while time speeds on its way, let us live from day to day to be those on whom the Master can depend. For though nothing shall endure, of this truth my heart is sure, Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much he loves me. Jesus is my true, my dearest friend.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now, what about you resting on the Lord Jesus? There's a whole lot of talk about Christianity and all the apologetics and the doctrines and so on. But are you really a Christian resting on the grace that is in the Lord Jesus? That really is the vital personal question. And it depends upon your trusting and your casting yourself upon the Lord. We have this very clear analogy of the yoke that the Lord is referring to. And he gives this invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I don't know if there's ever been a time, and certainly in my life, when people have been more burdened, fearful, finding difficult just to rest. Every day is filled with new things that alarm us, and in the midst of this pandemic, well, things can get out of hand very, very quickly. But here is a great and wonderful invitation from the Lord Jesus to take his yoke upon us and to be united to the Lord Jesus. Now, how do we do that? We do that by confession and by faith. I'm going to give you three things that you need to confess. Confess your sins. Confess that you are guilty of sin. And admit to the Lord that you need to be washed from your sins. Then confess your weakness, that you do not have the strength that is required to live the Christian life. And you need to be honest before God that your own human strength will not cut it. Then thirdly, confess that you have no power to live each day in your own strength. Just day by day we're called to live, but we can't do it in our own strength. We must cast ourselves upon the Lord and find our strength in him. Now, that requires trust. We are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that he alone is able to save. And when you do make that prayer by calling on the Lord personally, then by his Spirit, he will dwell in you and he will make you to know his power. He will pour in his power into your life. And so it is a confession of sin, a confession of our weakness, a confession that we have no power of our own, and that we need the Lord to dwell in us daily. Will you do that now by simply calling on the name of the Lord? And you will find peace.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.